जय बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जनाबदा गिरिहर ध्यारी, गिरिहर ध्यारी, गोपी जनाबल्लभा गिरिहर ध्यारी, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, ब्रज जन रंजना, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, ब्रज जन रंजना, जामुन तीरा बनाचारी, जामुन तीरा बनाचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जनाबल्लभा गिरिहर ध्यारी, गोपी जनाबल्लभा गिरिहर ध्यारी, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जामुना तेरा बनाचारी, जामुन तेरा बनाचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस हरि विरगतार्ज अष्टतर सतसी श्रीमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की कौर प्रेमानंदी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, रीडिंग फ्रॉम द वंडरफुल प्रेयर्स, वुप्स, आई विल नीड द बुक, आई हैव द रॉन्ग वॉल्यूम. Yeah, that book. Yeah, thanks. Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text Number 10. Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. Atakshamasva chutame rajo bhuvo. Yajanatastat pratak ishamani naha. Ajavale padhatamonda chakshusha. Esho nukampyo mayi natavan iti. Atakshamacha. Atakshamat vachuta me rajo bhuvo. Yajanatas tat pratak ishamani naha. Ajavale padha damondan chakshusha. Esho nukampyo mayi natavan iti. Takshama. Therefore, Shamasva. Please excuse. Achyuta. Oh, infallible Lord. May me, Raja Bhovaha, who have taken birth in the mode of passion. He indeed ajanataha, being ignorant, tvat, from you, pritak, separate, isha, a controller, maninaha, presuming myself, aja, the unborn creator, avalepa, the covering, andhatamaha, by such darkness of ignorance, andha, blinded, chakshushaha, my eyes, eshaha, this person, anukampyaha, should be shown mercy, mayi, me, natavan, having as his master, iti, thus thinking. Translation, therefore, no, I just pause, reading slowly, let it sink in. Therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion and am therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your servant and therefore worthy of your compassion. Purport. In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Brahma wanted to present the following argument to the Lord, quote, "My dear Lord, because I have acted so badly, I certainly deserve to be punished. On the other hand, because I am so ignorant, you should consider me an innocent fool and be merciful to me. Thus, although I deserve both punishment and forgiveness, I humbly beg you to exercise tolerance in this matter and simply forgive me and show me your mercy." The words natavan iti indicate that Lord Brahma wanted to humbly remind Lord Krishna that he was, after all, Brahma's father and master, and should therefore forgive the unfortunate transgressions of his humble servant. Every conditioned soul, whether he be Lord Brahma or an insignificant ant, falsely identifies himself with the material world, and in this way forgets his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma, because of his prestigious position as the cosmic creator, also tends to identify himself as the Lord of this world. And thus he sometimes forgets his position as an insignificant servant of the Supreme Lord. Now, by Lord Krishna's mercy, this false identification is being rectified, and Lord Brahma is remembering his constitutional position as the eternal servant of God. I'm going to read compliments of Bhanu Swami, translations of the commentaries of our acharyas on this section. So we'll start with Vishwanath. Here we go. Quote. It just disappeared. It'll take forever to find it again. Because the file is... You have it? On your little thing. All three commentaries?
I just have
Sri Vishnu. Oh, no. I have... Let me find it. Pause. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Computers are great. Just have to hit the right buttons. Oh, look at that. Well, while I'm waiting, oh, look at this. Oh, that's Krishna. Such a big file. It's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's really nice. It's worth waiting for. Okay, try again. Vishwanath writes, quote, though my bad conduct is worthy of punishment and my foolishness is worthy of forgiveness, because you are all merciful, you should pardon me completely. You do not waver from your qualities such as mercifulness whereas I am fallen. Therefore, I address you as Achyuta, one who should give more mercy to the most fallen. With this in mind, you should pardon my offense. Brahma then identifies his low qualities. Quote, I'm ignorant like a clay doll. I think I am separate from you. That's this pratak. He explains his identity as a controller. Quote, I think I am your son with great pride, but I am blind in all eight eyes. But when the moon of your mercy shines upon me, my pride will be destroyed. How will forgiveness manifest? Me, this Brahma, is worthy of your mercy. Oh, this is Krishna thinking. This Brahma is worthy of my mercy because, though he shows himself as a master elsewhere, towards me he is a servant. Out of foolishness he made a show of independence in front of me, but in truth Brahma is dependent, or natavan, because of depending upon my mercy. Therefore I should show him mercy. Jiva Goswami writes, Shridhar Swami, in his commentary, explains, though I think I am the master, Prabhu Tvena, you think, since I am the master, this is my servant, I should be merciful to him, therefore you should forgive me. Or, since I am insignificant and you are so great, you should forgive me. He explains his insignificance. I am born of Rajogun and ignorance. I have a portion of tamas also. Just see. Although I can see, my eyes were born from pride. Andha. Tamas. The word he indicates that this is well known. You know this. But you are called Achyuta. You should be true to your word. And he quotes Ramayana, Yudhyakanda, where Ram says, I have made a vow that I will give fearlessness to that person who surrenders and once says, I am yours. Sakrit Eva Prapano. And I should not be considered an unsuitable candidate. You should think, this Brahma deserves my mercy. Why? He's my servant. Why would Brahma be a servant? He is a servant to me. He has dedicated himself to me alone. Sanatana Goswami. Because you are so great and I am so small, you should forgive me. He shows his insignificance. I am born in passion, ignorance, etc. He means, certainly, and it is to be used with each term. You never fail at any time, in any way, from your glories, Achyuta. You forgive all offenses in a person who surrenders to you. Quote, he is worthy of my mercy, he is a servant. Why should Brahma be a servant? He is a servant to me, Bhagavan. By being a servant, I attain you. Sridhar Swami's explanation is an alternative. My eyes are blinded by dense darkness by being spread with Maya. In different ways, they're sharing same things. And there's lots of nice points here. One is, his eyes are covered. in darkness. And what's the covering in darkness? It's the our ISKCON term, upadi. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam tatvartme nirmalam. So, going back to Canto 2, Chapter 9, where Brahma comes before Lord Vishnu, before there's even the creation, Lord Vishnu offers benedictions, and one of the benedictions that Brahma asks for is, let me, in the process of being the creator, let me not think that I'm the doer, but it's, I'm the instrument or the servant of you who are the doer. I'm your servant. May I always be mindful of that. And this Leela is showing, and the purport explains, sometimes Brahma forgets. Even he's asked for that benediction. Sometimes he forgets. Now, his forgetfulness is not quite like ours. We're always in forgetfulness. And we get glimpses of remembrance. There's a nice Prabhupada story I heard from Giriraj Maharaj. One time, Prabhupada was on the Vyasasana and asked Giriraj Maharaj to speak, and so he was speaking, and said, this happened, that happened, then I fell into Maya, and Prabhupada stopped him and said, and then you fell into Maya. You're always in Maya. Gulp. But it's true. And sometimes you get a glimpse of being not in Maya. But Brahma, it's the other way around. He's not in Maya. He's being conducted by the internal potency. But there's this influence, as he's acknowledging, Rajas and Tamas. But just beneath the surface of that Rajas and Tamas is, I'm your eternal servant. So it's very instructive for us, because we also have some service, and you know, name some names of the different services that we do, and it's really easy to identify oneself as, that's who I am. I'm a mother. Or, you know, I'm the treasurer, or I'm a college preacher, or I'm a cook, or I'm a whatever it is. It's really easy. It's like 1, 2, 3. You don't even have to get to 1, 2, 3. It's just already there. And that has a tendency to cause pritak, or separate interest. In Amritavani, a collection of Bhakti Siddhanta's statements, because of the lawnmower. There is no love in this material world, because there's always separate interest and thus conflict. So, real love is otherworldly, and in this world there's no love. But certainly people would say, hey, I love my children. I love my wife. I love my family, and so forth. I love my dog. I love, you know, how can you say? So the saying is on the basis of what Brahma is saying, that is, the seeing, Rishabhdev says, karmatmaka yena sharira bandha. The mind becomes colored by involvement in the modes of nature, and through the modes of nature influencing false ego, we have different identities of who we're not. And our seeing of anything is through the lens of that coloring or that mode of nature. we supposed to do? Scientists say that this scientist and that scientist and a group of scientists all look at the same data and they read it differently based upon the lens of their conceptions of life which are being carried in the mind. The conception of life influenced by the modes of nature. We have our upadis. We have a whole bunch of them. This word upadi technically means, the example given in the Vedas to explain what upadi is like a lake or a pond. Just beneath the pond is land. So when you see the pond, you say pond. But it's a covering over the land. And then perhaps after some time, the pond dries up. Or maybe it swells, it becomes a pond, becomes a lake. Or, you know, so the circumstances keep changing, and we're identifying with the changing, and not what's beneath the changing, the permanent. So we have some service, but that's not who we are. And the service changes, and we go, oh. It's not who we are. And in the negative emotion, like the oh thing, is because we're attached to the temporary and the upadi that goes with it. So it's really instructive. Brahma is the head of our sampradaya. And he's teaching us how it happens that we become covered. Even you're trying to be a nice devotee and you're trying to etc., etc., but we're influenced by these things. And sometimes it predominates. So it's a nice verse, Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam. Nirmalam. No mala, no contamination, and the contamination of identifying with the covering. And in that condition, so that's Brahma-Bhuta stage, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Bhakti follows a spiritual conception of self. We're engaging in bhakti with a notional spiritual conception of self and very prominently identifying with the upadi. And so we make some mistakes in our service, the upadi-driven mistakes. We don't want to do that, but it happens. And so now we're getting an indication from Brahma what to do when that little light goes on and you realize, whoops, offended this devotee, or I may have something. I may have been acting through false ego. I may have spoken harshly. I may have spoken improperly. I may have so many things. And then when you realize that, if you're introspective, that's the feeling. Oh, then what do you do? In his case, the offense was made directly to Krishna. That's not small time, that's big time. But he's a very important person. And he wanted to see, and so Krishna gave him, Krishna reciprocated. What's the extent of the opulences of Krishna? Unlimited. What's the extent? No extent. No, unlimited. So Krishna reciprocated. But Krishna also, very kindly, as he will do with us, remove, when he's kind, he'll remove that misidentification with the upadi. And sometimes it happens in a way that's, we use this word all the time, uncomfortable, or painful. And we go, ouch, it hurts. And then, you know, the bigger picture is Krishna is being very kind. Like this nice verse from Brahma Samhita, where the personality of Godhead, from Indra down to Indra Gopacharam, the super soul is very kindly giving the fruits of the karma of all living entities. And then for the devotee, there's no fruits of karma, it's something else. What's that something else? He removes from the very root of material involvement. He extracts that ignorance, because it's ignorance that causes us to act ignorantly. Ignorant causes ignorant desire, causes ignorant activity, causes suffering. So he removes ignorance, the root cause. You know, and we're kind of attached to our particular brand of ignorance. We think it's, you know, it's me. And if you don't have me, what's left? I've had discussions with college students where that's like, after that, what else is there? You know, similar to what Brahma says, excuse me, Arjuna says, or I go towards that thing and I don't get there and I'm neither here nor there. Same question Arjuna asks. Well, Krishna's kind, Krishna, the service, the progress towards who we really are is permanent, and Krishna will help you. You know, but, and one of the ways he may help you is to, you know, just take it away, ignorance or that which is the cause of ignorance. Your attachment to something. Not attachment, the byproduct of ignorance. The attachment to something. Asat Trishna, attachment to the temporary. Show him special kindness, he'll take it away. And so, Brahma here is referring to, as he did earlier, to Krishna as Achyuta, infallible. Now the common way that Prabhupada explains Achyuta or infallible, the Lord can never become fallen, he can never be covered by Maya. But there's a corollary of that is, his qualities will never fail. And his quality of mercy is a quality that will never fail. And so that's the logic that's being presented here by Brahma. I'm punishable, but I'm also a fit recipient of mercy. So a little extra on the mercy side, please. Now going back, I was thinking, looking at this verse, the Tat Tena Kampam Sosamikshamano verse, he's saying, do with me whatever you like, I accept the reaction that's coming, but I will not budge an inch from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that's a high bar. So you can breathe a little more easily if you're not on such a platform, and you can pray to the Supreme Lord, following Lord Brahma, I am worthy of being punished by you. My misdeeds are such that I am deserving punishment. But, you know, asking for mercy doesn't mean let me not undergo some reaction. It doesn't say that. To ask for his mercy doesn't say that. To ask for his mercy is to stay fixed in his loving service, because that's mercy. Or say the same thing in a different way. What's success? Success might be there's no bumps in the road. Life is smooth as silk and no disturbances, never to this or to that. It's never people are this or that. It's always a smoothie. That's mercy. In the three worlds, there's no such thing. And even in the spiritual world, there's emotion that looks like the emotion that's over here in this material world that looks, you know, unpleasant. Separation from Krishna, for example, etc. So mercy is where there's only, it's this, the interest is one. The interest, please protect me from having any other interest than your interest. It's like Prahlad's prayer. You know the prayer. Don't ask me to take some benediction, because between you and I, there isn't any, I'm not a merchant. I do something, you give me something. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. And that's not a relationship. It's, you're the master and I'm the servant and there's nothing else. I have no, if you want to offer some benediction, here's one. Please let there be no material desires in my heart. Please don't give me things that are seeking the fulfillment of a material desire that's in my heart. That's a nice benediction. Please give me that one. So but there's nothing between us that on the material side. It's, there's service and there's paraphernalia connected with the service, whatever that might be. Brahmacharis have an ashram, and householders have a home and furniture and stuff in the kitchen to cook and make offerings to Krishna. But it's not mine, it's Krishna's being very kind and there's a facility to carry out my service. And I'm not attached to, I'm attached to the mode of being your servant. So I went over there and I got attached to the designation thing, which is 1, 2, 3 easy. And because of that designation thing, I made some mistakes, I made some offense. Please forgive. Now this is, in this case, it's directly to the personality of Godhead. In our case, it's primarily to devotees or to Krishna in the form of the holy name or perhaps the deity. Or something that's Krishna or Krishna's representation, Krishna's representative of the spiritual world. Seeing in a material way and then conducting ourselves that way, and that's not right. And it's the modes of nature driving us and our past conditioning driving us, and that's where we are. We're not at the Prahlad Maharaj or at the perfect stage beyond even Brahma's being influenced by passion, because he needs that just to do the creation, and because of that some impertinent behavior, more than, it's offensive. He interfered with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That's a no-no. He kidnapped the cows or the calves and the cowherd boys. He kidnapped them. That's a no-no. So he's fit to be punished. So give your mercy doesn't mean, you know, let's say tolerance. There was a discussion over the weekend about discipline in parenting. But it can be discipline in our relations with others, not just parents and children. The appeal for tolerance because you're a parent, and because this is your child, or because there's people that we're interacting with in preaching Krishna consciousness, we have to be tolerant. Otherwise, you're unfit to be a preacher or a parent. And then, while you're being tolerant, then is there any position for discipline or correcting someone that's heading for the ditch? No, just be tolerant, head for the ditch. So there has to be some corrective measure, but the corrective measure has to be from a position of a loving gesture. And that's Krishna, he's Achyuta. That's what he's appealing for. Brahma. is appealing for, that tolerance and mercy. Like, not like, don't discipline me, or don't give me something that will help me remember that I have this tendency, and let me be mindful that I have this tendency and be careful to avoid this tendency. And it's the nature of a pure devotee. I don't need to say it again, but that exchange with Srila Prabhupada where I will never fall down because I'm always praying to Krishna, that I not become subject to Maya. So we have to be aware and concerned, a little wary, not obsessive, but wary of the tendency to identify with the upadis, the designations of who we are. And then, you know, us and them, friend and enemy. We have to be practical in the world in which we live. We keep our doors locked at Chicago. And we make announcements to people, you know, don't leave your cell phone lying around. It's Chicago. Regularly, Chandrapran has to make that nice announcement. Don't leave your pocketbook on the bench when you go upstairs to take prasadam, because it's Chicago. Somebody might, you know, be interested in walking home with your pocketbook, so don't leave it thinking, oh, it's a temple, it won't happen. So, we take precaution because this is Krishna's property, and I want to take care of Krishna's property nicely. So we have to be practical. At the same time, with our intelligence being practical, our intelligence is going to Krishna. It's that to achieve the higher thing. And if we lose track of the higher thing, we're struggling. Endlessly struggling. No end to that struggle. So Brahma's teaching us, and Krishna's teaching us. One other little thing, he's facing Krishna in Vrindavan. So while he's facing Krishna in Vrindavan, and it's within his prayers as well, he has this understanding, a proper understanding, that Vishnu, Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, is his father, and Garbhadakshayi Vishnu is Krishna's expansion, so Krishna is his father. You know that there's this nice, Brahma, please consider what you're saying, you're calling me your father, but you're so much older than me, I'm just a little boy. And then this nice exchange, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Are you not my father? Yes, you are my father. Here's the proof, three proofs. You're my father. You are the source of Vishnu, and therefore you're my father. You're the... And so on. So he has knowledge. But knowledge can be covered by ignorance. Just on one little slight... Forget our tiny position as a spirit soul, part of the Supreme. Forget, identify with the covering, the temporary, the upadi stuff, mind and body, that, and identify with it, and off you go. It's real easy. We're really practiced at it. And the other takes and practice the other way. So it's the practice the other way is bhakti properly performed, with at least gradually evolving the spiritual conception of self, Krishna, and the relationship with Krishna, and so forth. That's our bhakti process. We deal with the material energy, but not identify with it. And the other options that people try for, they're totally impractical. or if they feel they're going up, and then come back, because the shelter isn't there. Whether it's a lifestyle or meditation or some spiritual practice or something, or just living in the world and no shelter. So he's appealing that Krishna remains in that position of shelter, just like this verse from Ramayana that's taken. When once Ram says, take shelter of me, I give him fearlessness. And fearfulness arises from a bodily conception or absorption in the temporary. The concepts are easy, and then following through and acting according to the concepts is another thing. Not thinking dependently, but thinking independently. We're very prone to think independently, especially in America. The land of the home and the brave, whatever that saying is. Any discussion?
Time. Yeah. Guru Maharaj's verse is beautiful.
Mm.
Very applicable. So I had a question and a clarification. My questions first. In my understanding of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, there's two verses that are repeated twice, one of which is act according to your duty and don't try to do somebody else's duty. And so in the light of your class today and how we identify with our service, my question is, to what extent should we strive to take initiative or engage in services that are aligned with what we currently see as our nature?
To what extent should we do that? To what extent should we strive to carry out services that are consistent with our nature? That's your question? You have an alternative?
As opposed to be more like an image is kind of a floating something within the sea, where based on requests of devotees, you're moving to whatever service is being requested of you, as opposed to specifically saying no to some services and taking up other services.
Well, there's several thoughts. I mean, we're very limited, and even how much service can we do according to our nature, or to speak of services that are not according to our nature. We're very limited. So according to what is taught in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's purport, there's routine service, there's emergency service, and there's preferred service. So there's those three categories. And routine is according to nature. And emergency is emergency. And preferred is preferred. So, depends. I mean, let's say if there's coming from some higher authority and you're being asked to do some service, there's certainly freedom for discussion about, you know, my envelope is already overflowing. There's no room for something else. And those, et cetera. So there's room for dialogue without all the topics that go into such a dialogue. But at the end of such a dialogue, now comes your question. Should I accept because it's being asked of me, or should I just stick with something that's my nature? A lot depends on the relationship and the circumstance, and you may take on something that's not your nature. I've done that. Because it was clear that it was needed. So it depends how much, you know, generally is the routine, and then circumstantial that's required, then you may do something that's not really your nature. But then you acquire, you know, by doing that, then you acquire some skill by Krishna's mercy to do that service that's not really your nature. And, you know, there's one advantage in doing something that's not your nature because of submission to some need or some higher authority making that request is it's very clear I'm depending upon mercy here. Now, of course, false ego can be really strong and you don't think it like that at all. But it increases the opportunity for thinking oneself dependent instead of, you know, kartaham. There's plus and minus with everything. So how to make such decisions, it's not a cookie cutter answer to that. Depends. Primarily according to nature. And if it's something that's not according to my nature, let it be from some higher authority that's making this request of me. But then it may be best to just do that which is my nature, thank you. And let that thing which needs to be done by somebody that suits their nature. I'm sure Krishna will, because it needs to be done, Krishna will supply. So the bottom line, so you're targeting pleasing Krishna, and then I'm this little tiny entity meant for pleasing Krishna. What's the best way for me, this tiny living entity, to please Krishna? Primarily it's according to my nature, because then I'm more in balance, and then some circumstances I may take on something that's not my nature just because of whatever the factors are. But so primarily according to nature. Okay.
And then a clarification question. In text 8, Tattenu Kampam Susumikshamano, and here in text 10, if I understood right, in text 8, Brahma is, give me whatever you
bring
want.
Bring it on.
And here he is
asking for mercy.
Asking for a little more on the mercy side.
Kshema, forgiveness. But that doesn't mean...
Is it a different platform of consciousness, or is it a refinement of the request?
One can read it two different ways. That's one of the ways. Another way is, when he's asking for forgiveness, it's not like, don't bring it on. But in our relationship, let there not be damage to our relationship as you bring it on. I accept. But let the relationship not be damaged. Forgive me. You know, like parents. When there's some discipline, it doesn't mean now the relationship has been damaged. You can forgive if parent. Krishna can forgive us for our wrongdoing. Or some position, one who is looking accountable for others, it need not damage the relationship if there's, including when there's some appropriate punishment, let the relationship not be damaged, let the forgiveness in that relationship for that wrongdoing be done, be given, while the whatever the consequences are for my wrongdoing, I'm accepting it. That's another reading. Okay. Sivam.
Gomash, when you brought Lord Brahma requesting Lord Vishnu for the benediction to don't become victim by the association of the mortal passion and forget his position, and he received that blessing, but you explain how he forgot.
Still, it happens.
So understanding when one receives blessings for this from the spiritual master, from Krishna, and that blessing is because it comes from the Lord, it's achyuta, it's infallible. So the fact that we forget is that, you know, somehow or other doesn't mean that the blessing is not applicable or is not there. So I'm thinking that you have spiritual master who makes a vow at the time of initiation to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. And one received that blessings, and one, when we take initiation, you're in the mood of surrender, you have that, you're in that space, and that blessings is there, and then we have situations.
Keep it a little shorter.
Yeah,
please.
I'm trying to pick in.
Keep it short.
Then devotees will fall down and leave. Then what happens with that blessing? What happens with that? How can that blessing come again to, because it's infallible, it's there for that devotee. So when is that situation that happens at Lord Brahma comes to again connect to that blessings that he received of being protected?
There's different answers. In learned discussions, there's different answers. And the primary operative principle, well, two, is the heart of the devotee. So in the case of Brahma specifically, the heart of Brahma is very, very, very clear. He has one shelter. And so the 9:30 Bhagavad Gita verse is appropriate. When the Sudurachar takes place, from Krishna's perspective, he considers him a sadhu. And he corrects the next verse, he corrects the situation. So that's Brahma, or persons who, in their heart of hearts, it's one thing, Krishna and spiritual master. Then another perspective is, your specific question is what happens to the blessing. The blessing doesn't go away, but there's a commitment on the part of the person who received the blessing. And the commitment is, I will follow these things. And if one, I heard Prabhupada, a recorded lecture, say if one violates, then the extension of that special mercy is different. It's not withdrawn, but the submission is withdrawn. Now that's the heart indicated, you know, depending upon whether it's this temporary or deliberate, circumstantial or deliberate deviation. So there's lots of such persons. Prabhupada disciples, just take that as a standard. No shortage on the part of the person receiving the submission. The shortage is on the person who's submitting. And so if it's intermittent, even with vows, that the affection of Prabhupada doesn't go away, but, you know, the person has violated their commitment in that relationship. So your question is what happens to the blessing? Well, it's weakened because of the breaking of that submission. And it can be rekindled very quickly by, again, submission. But it's a relationship. The blessing isn't taken away, but it's not being acted upon. Then it starts to get, a third position is it starts to get into all kinds of interesting discussions about, you know, does the spiritual master have to take as many births as it takes to get all those living entities back to Godhead? You know, how does it work? But, you know, that's not exactly what your question is. What the question is, the blessing. What happens to the blessing? It's in abeyance. Not withdrawn, it's in abeyance. It can be reconnected with. Like Bill Mungla, Chintamani speaking, words of his spiritual master.
Guruji, you were speaking about upadhis and upadhi-driven mistakes.
Upadhis are?
You use the phrase, we make upadhi-driven mistakes.
Make upadhis of what? What?
Upadhi-driven mistakes.
Upadhi-driven mistakes. Okay, got it.
So some upadhis that we take on don't carry a position of authority with them. For example, you know, we go to preach in a college, that's one upadhi, but if you're just making friends. But there are other upadhis that we take on, such as you give the example of being a mother, that carry very significant authority over another individual.
Yes. Yes.
And it seems that when there is greater authority, we also have greater dangers of making those upadhi-driven mistakes.
Yep.
And yet, the earlier discussion of our nature, some of us have natures where, we are leaders. We
have natures where we do what?
Are leaders.
So we have.
Well, you go to a college. That's the first example you gave. That's a leadership position. It's a different one, but it's certainly a milder one, but it's a leadership position. You become a Vaishnava and you're a leader. Even if you don't go to the college, if you just be a Vaishnava. So?
I'm looking for some guidance on these positions of great authority that we take up with an unclean heart, and we have the tendency to make upadhi-driven mistakes. How to be really, really careful?
How to be very careful? By being very, very careful, that's how you do it. Recognize, exactly, you recognize the tendency is there, and you, on the one hand, you guard against that tendency, you're cautious. You know, like when driving in a car, this is a zone, it's known to be accident-prone zone, drive carefully. Or you're going through an intersection, you know you have to be vigilant because that's a big place where there's accidents, it's at intersections. So you're more vigilant. You don't stop driving, you don't stop doing your service, just you're vigilant. And specifically as this nice example of Prabhupada, pray to Krishna to protect you from those tendencies. That is, or Prahlad, take away the tendency to be the enjoyer of the temporary and be driven by those ideas of self. And you carry on. You can't be frozen. You have to become purified. And in the course of being purified, there'll be, you know, some nice things and some hurtful things. You could just, you know, go into a corner and look at the corner. And until you're like, you know, free from upadis. Or that's not our method. And keep good association, and that good association be ready for feedback. Two more questions, we're going to finish. Go ahead.
Maharaj, all these verses are regarding prayers, like how we should follow in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and pray. So, like specific to this verse, in the commentaries, the acharyas say that Krishna, you are very merciful, therefore you should give me your mercy, or you should give me forgiveness. So when we pray to Krishna, our approach is that if you so desire Krishna, please give me your mercy. Are they both same kind of a prayer? Do they both mean the same?
Well, the language is slightly different, but the second one is how Srila Prabhupada trained us, so we do that. It ends up the same. The mood is a little different, the language is a little different, but we're just Prabhupada followers, so we do that one. It helps keep our controlling tendency, you know, at bay a little bit. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Right here. He wants somebody to bring him the microphone, so there we go. He's checking himself and saying thank you for the nice class.
That's actually true.
it's really difficult for him to do that. But thank you.
You were mentioning that Lord Brahma, he was rich in intelligence, but he forgot that he was dependent on the Lord, and he gave up that upadi. And I kind of like to, generally speaking, prelude my question with something that reminded me of some quote that crystallized these points. There's a lecture on YouTube. I'd like to make a
reference. There's a lecture where?
On YouTube.
On YouTube?
Yeah. By Martin Luther King Jr.
By who? Martin Luther King
Jr.
Hey.
The title of the lecture is called Why Jesus Called That Man a Fool. So in this lecture...
Why Jesus did what? Speak it slowly.
Why Jesus called a rich man a fool, like Brahma.
By?
Why Jesus called a rich man a fool.
What was the last part? By?
Jesus called a rich man a fool.
But there was something that he said after that. Like Brahma.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
like Brahma.
Okay.
So, and he crystallized these points, and it's something I keep in mind all the time. He says, Jesus called a rich man a fool because he failed to realize his dependence on others. In this parable, this fool spoke about 60 words. And do you know in 60 words, he said I and mine more than 15 times. He said the words I and mine so much that he lost the capacity to say we and ours. No, my friends, I don't want you to forget it. No matter where you are today, somebody helped you to get there. So my question is that regarding like the pastime of Hiranyakashipu, he realized his dependence on Brahma when he didn't have a position, but when he gained that position, I'm not dependent on anyone. So how can we prevent ourselves from falling in the trap before and after initiation? Before initiation, I'm so dependent on so many devotees.
It sounds like her question. Just
yeah, that's
why
I was going to actually mention that. My question was kind of similar to hers.
It's already done. There's peril, even on the royal road. And so we have to, when on the royal road, the path of bhakti, we have to be very careful. Knowing that even we're being very careful, still we could have an accident on the royal road. And, you know, it could be fatal. It could be at least, you know, very detrimental to us and others, so we have to be very careful. And while being very careful, we it's not that we just were petrified or, you know, immobilized or frozen or something. We continue being fluid at the same time being careful. We go towards the light and be aware that there's blind spots going along the road for us. And we get blindsided and have a collision. So, have to be very careful and continue. And it, when you find that you, here I go again, I got sucker punched. So, you turn to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, I forgot you. So you appeal to Krishna for let it not, whatever you want to have happen to me, let my relationship with you remain fully intact. I'm submitting to you. I'm yours. You can do with me what you like. But let me be available for your service and kindly accept me in that way. Caution and recognition, regret, reinstatement. Rectification, reinstatement. You know that one, the 4 R's. 4 R's. Recognition, when you did the boo-boo. Regret. Rectification. That's this, please reinstate, and then reinstatement. I accept the responsibility for my actions that was driven, the upadhi-driven mistake. I accept the responsibility for that and the consequences that come with it. Let me not budge an inch from your, so that's the text 8 verse. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go.